I love my sin. I mean, let's call it what it is. If Jesus Christ asked us to give those things up, if the things that we desire and we hold on to are contrary to Scripture, it's sin. And we love it. Listen, there are things in my life, okay, that I hold on to that are sin. Okay, I know it. And yet at times it's like, Lord, I do not want to give up Chinese buffets, okay? Like, I know we laugh about it, but like, I know that that's something like my eating habits. I have heart disease. There's no way I should be 30 pounds overweight. I just shouldn't be. How can I expect God? Patty's up here nodding my head because my wife's not here to do it for her, right? How can I expect God to sustain my health and my heart if I walk in disobedience? I can't. I cannot expect God to bless my marriage if I'm going to walk in disobedience. I cannot expect God to bless my where I work if the way I work is in disobedience to God. It just can't happen. That's what he's after. He's after simple, day-to-day, moment-by-moment obedience. That's what he's looking for. Making those little choices to say, Lord, I love it, but I know it's wrong, and I've got to give it up. I have to give it up. Go back to Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews. We're talking about in Romans, okay? Romans chapter 1, or Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. You know, the whole point of this, when we talk about worship, okay, and in most cases, when you use the word worship, you think of what? You think of music. That's what you think of. You think of the time you enjoy before you have to sit through the sermon, okay? It's like, I think Bob said it one time, the sermon is the inconvenience between worship and lunch for a lot of people, you know? But I will tell you this, there's been a number of people here who've told me that the sermon is actually one of their favorite parts of the service. At least on the first and third Sundays. Those are Bob's. Somebody, oh, you thought that was funny, didn't you, Katie? No, that's okay. You can laugh. I think Kevin told someone, Kevin's not here, he left. He told someone that the sermon was a favorite part of the service, and they looked at him like he had three eyes, you know? It is shocking, but most people enjoy the music more. I love the music. I love every part of the service. I love whether we sing. I love whether we preach. I love whether we do communion. I love it all. I just love being with you guys and being here doing our thing. But a lot of times when we think of worship, we think of music. But see, music alone is not worship. It's obedience. It's obedience to God. Music is a form of worship. But nothing takes the place of obedience. I knew a guy in another church, okay? And I helped out. Peyton and I are involved in a Royal Rangers program in Assemblies of God. All right, Peyton and I'm the commander, and he goes there. And one of the guys at the Assemblies wanted to help out. Well, the pastor sat me down and said, I'm just letting you know, I want this guy to help out because I want to reach him. But he's not exactly the ideal helper. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I can work with anybody. Well, we build a campfire, okay? We build a campfire. We're sitting around, and we have a bunch of impressionable teenagers. Or no, young kids, my son's age. He decides to start smoking. He starts talking about how he's going to go home and throw down a few shots when he gets back home. And he starts swearing. Now, we all make mistakes, and I'm sure that many of us have sworn when we don't intend to, or it just happens sometimes. Many of you may like alcohol, okay? And that's on you. I hate alcohol. I never liked it. It's probably because I never tried it, because I have an addicted personality, and I never wanted to go down that road. I figure if I'm that bad with food, God only knows. But the smell of it also, like anything, like I can tell if alcohol's in something, I just don't like it. Thirdly, I realize smoking can be a struggle. I do. But it's not something that I want fourth, fifth, and sixth grade kids seeing, okay? Now, I asked the pastor, I said, can someone have a talk with him that I'd rather him not do those three things when we're in front of these kids? And he said, yeah, don't worry, we'll talk about it. Well, he soon after left. But I asked the pastor, I said, I'm just curious, why did you really want him to help out if you knew a lot of these things about him? And he said, well, I really wanted to reach him, you know? He's abusive at home. I knew he did these things, but I really wanted to reach him. I'm thinking, oh my, you know. So anyways, but the pastor concluded with this statement. He said, but I got to tell you, nobody worships like him on Sunday morning. I thought, what does that mean? So I asked him. Like, you have to excuse me, but what does that mean? Like, no one, oh, well, he's the one shouting and dancing and he's screaming. And I thought, that's your definition of worship? Because I don't shout when I sing, you know? I mean, I don't dance when I sing. If you want to dance, knock yourself out, but you're not going to see me wear myself out dancing, okay? I don't dance with my wife, other than slow songs. You are not going to see me break a move in the middle of the church service. This is not going to happen, okay? My wife knew that before she married me, and she was okay with that, so I'm not just being stubborn. But his point was, well, the guy looks so amazing when the music is on and he's performing, so he has to love God, and all these other things really don't matter. But see, the point is that is what matters. Our lifestyle is what matters. The choices we make are what matters. Worship starts here. Nothing takes the place of obedience. If you all knew that I was abusive at home or my witness was ruined every time I walked out of this place, nothing I said in this pulpit matters to any of you. Nothing. Because what matters is the life that we live. That's what Jesus Christ is after. He's looking to see a witness. That's what he's concerned with most of all. The fruit of someone's life is the evidence of their worship. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. The fruit of someone's life. That's all we're called to do. I'm going to end there because it's hot. And I got a couple laughs. But yeah, he told me, he said, no one worships like him on Sunday morning. I'm like, and once again, worship is not something that we can actually judge by exterior appearances. Here's where it counts. Here's where it counts. The choices we make, the lifestyle we live, the things that we choose to surrender to God, even though we want to hold on to them with dear life. It's a sacrifice. It's a tearing. It's a ripping. That's why it's a sacrifice. That's what it is. That's what worship is. But see, the whole thing is, too, is we can't do any of these things apart from Jesus Christ. I can't choose to be a better person. I can't choose to worship God. I cannot choose to live an obedient lifestyle or surrender these things without Jesus Christ. It just cannot happen. I cannot surrender my sins. I cannot surrender my temptations and my struggles without the help of Jesus Christ. I just can't do it. I'm just not capable. I am not capable because I'm powerless. It's only through him. It's only in the relationships. That's why the old covenant, okay, is perishing. That's why the old covenant had its day. The old covenant was about regulations. Yes, it pointed us to Christ. It validated through prophecy the New Testament and the New Covenant. But the New Covenant is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about the regulations. It's about the relationship. It's about one-on-one with myself and my God. That's what it's about. That's how it works. That's communion, what David was saying this morning. In those tough times, in those difficult times when there's nothing else to hang on to, the doctor's diagnosis is bleak, our court system has failed us, our jobs, the economy is tanking, all we have is Jesus Christ. That's the only person we have to hang on to in our relationship with him. So we'll close with that. We'll pray. Father, I just pray and ask that you would just truly teach us to worship in spirit and in truth. Father, I just ask and pray that you would just direct us to those things in our lives and in our lifestyle that are not what you want, are not your desire and will for us, that are sin in your sight. Lord, help us to deal with our hearts. Help us to allow that tearing to occur, that sacrifice to happen, because we gain so much more. Father, let us not view it like we're losing, as we do so often. but let us view it as gain, that we are gaining your Son and the relationship with you, that we are gaining Jesus Christ, who truly is precious in all things. Lord, I just ask and pray for those that are not here with us, that you would just watch over them and just be with them, make them aware of your presence even now. I pray for all the projects around here that we're going to try to get done maintenance-wise. I pray that you would provide the money, that we would make proper decisions, that they would get done in a timely manner. Lord, I just thank you for our church. I just thank you for our fellowship. I thank you that you have instilled in us to be personable, not so much professional. Lord, thank you that things can happen and kids can talk in the service and it doesn't matter, because all that matters is our relationship with you and our relationship with one another. Lord, we thank you for laughter, and we thank you for love, and we thank you for your Son. In his name we ask all these things. Amen.